Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Gadget Flow Podcast, a show about everything related to products, marketing, entrepreneurship, and crowdfunding. If you're new to the Gadget Flow, it is the original product discovery platform, and you can check it out at thegadgetflow.com. I'm your host, Mark Galino, and this week's guest,
CEO of Retailbound, Johan Jacob.
So Retailbound helps brands launch new products or advance existing ones,
correct,
getting them off the ground and out to retailers, right?
Yep. That's what we've been doing for the last almost 14 years.
So for those not yet familiar with Retailbound, can you expand on how your company helps other businesses?
Sure, definitely. So Retailbound, we're not a rep group or distributor. We think we're better than that, Mark. We're a full service retail solutions agency that helps innovate brand scale and retail. What does that mean? Helping brands kind of avoid some of the common pitfalls when trying to approach retail, where it's brick and mortar or it's online or it's on air or B2B. Our job is really threefold. We get clients ready for retail, so developing the go-market strategy, their pricing, the logistics, and so forth. Once they're retail ready, we have a large network of reps and distributors to help us open doors for our clients. And once the client has been approved with a retail, like a Best Buy or a Costco or a QVC, then our job is actually not done. It's actually just begun. We actually manage the client by developing their go-to-market strategy and marketing and sales, and hopefully grow their company into a multi-billion-dollar brand. We've done for a lot of brands over the last 14 years.
Yeah, what are some of the different brands that you've had the opportunity to work with?
So a lot of our clients are smaller brands that have unique products. Our specialty is really more on the consumertronics, sporting goods, toys, healthcare. One example is a company called Cujo. They raised a lot of money on Indiegogo back in 2015, 2016. We got on retail ready and got in front of several retailers like Best Buy, Staples, Walmart, Office Depot, Dish Network. Really cool product. Basically, protect your all those smart home devices in your house being hacked. Did very well in the retail side. Helped them create a business case to help license their IP. And today, they're working with several cable operators like Comcast, Charter, Time Warner, and they're about 50 million households across the United States. But in 2016, they were a young brand that launched a brand on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, did well. And 5 years later, they're in many homes across America and have sold the company for a lot of money, I guess, as an example. But we have a lot of clients, you know, that have seen success. And success is a relative word. You know, again, in retail and selling a couple of units per month is success. Others, you know, be able to grow the business where they get bought up by a large, you know, private equity company is success for them, right? So success is different for each company we work with, by the way, Mark.
Yeah, definitely.
We've had clients who've done well in retail and then, you know, get money out and get money to go on Shark Tank or Dragon's Den or all around. They get money on Dragon's Den or Shark Tank and, hey, Johan, I need help getting into retail. So we've seen it, you know, both ways.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background in the retail and distribution space?
Sure. So Retailbound, what makes us different than a traditional retail consultant is myself and the rest of my team members, we've been on both sides of the buyer's desk. What's that mean? So we've been in the shoes of our client, the small young brand has a cool product. They got fun on Indiegogo, or maybe they don't want Amazon, right? Not a well-known brand like Sony or Samsung, but it's a cool product, right? So we've been in the shoes of our client who are trying to pioneer a product, a brand, or even a company, right? But also, we've been in the shoes of their customer, the actual retail buyer, or we call the merchant. I've been in the industry for nearly 30 years as a manufacturer, as a merchant, as a consultant, right? So if you're a young brand, you know, okay, you're in the U.S., you're based outside internationally, you want to get into retail, who do you hire? You know, someone who's, you know, maybe fresh out of college and no experience, or someone like myself who has nearly three decades of experience in both on the manufacturing side, but also on the retail side.
Hmm. What inspired you to come up with the idea for Retail Bound?
So it's a great story. So I was a buyer traveling internationally many years ago, and I saw a movie called The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. I was like, oh, that's a cool movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. And I'm in my early 30s back then. And you know, I have a bucket list. So one was to write a list of what do I do before I kick the bucket, right? So maybe, you know, get married, have a couple of kids, talk to Mark and Gadget Flow, right? You know, check. Right.
That's at the bottom of the list.
Let's say the middle of the list. but one of the things on my bucket list was to write a book. What should I write about? Right. So I wrote a book about retail because I think, you know, as a retail buyer, you know, I used to get a lot of cold calls, a lot of cold emails, even at trade shows. You know, I see a lot of young brands present their products, right? And like a job interview, Mark, I could tell which brands, right, were ready to work with me and which ones weren't. The ones that weren't ready to work with me waste my time. They waste their time and most likely don't get a second chance in making a first impression.
Yeah, true.
So I figured since I have a unique background, Mark, than most consultants, I've been on both sides of the buyer's desk, let me write a how-to book. So I wrote a how-to book called Retail Bound, Learn How to Sell Products at Retail. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. The book sold literally thousands and thousands of copies, mostly to inventors and moonlighters, right?
Wow.
I thought, wow, there's got to be a need. So I quit my high-paying job in retail and started a consulting company back in the mid-2000s and haven't looked back since.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Basically, I created something out of nothing, right? So that's my dream, helping other clients create something out of nothing. A lot of our clients have this really cool product they launch on a crowdfunding platform or maybe on Amazon, and they want to make their dream into reality, being to be on the shelf at a Best Buy or a Dick's or a Walmart, right? Or on air QVC or online on Amazon, right? And so my job is help turn their dream into reality.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who would you say is Retail Bound's ideal customer?
So ideally, our client, we look at three things, actually. We kind of vet out a client because a lot of our retail, like buyers, like us, because we kind of do their job for them. We kind of vet out the good from the bad. But ideally, we look at three things. One, the product has to be unique, right? We work with only hardlines products. So consumatronics, sporting goods, toys, baby, pets, small appliances, housewares, home improvement, outdoor recreation. So it's got to be in that category. We don't work with soft lines like apparel or jewelry. We don't work with consumables like food or drink. So we look at products that are more unique and different in the hard line space. It cannot be a commodity like an iPhone case or another pair of Bluetooth headphones. I need some IP to it. The thing I'm going to look at, Mark, is are they capitalized? Now, they don't need a lot of money, like Series A or Series B, but they're truly bootstrapped. They've maxed out their credit cards. They're probably not ready for retail, right? Because Best Buy, Costco, Dick's Sporting could easily bankrupt any supplier if given the opportunity, right?
That makes sense.
So they need money to be able to fund large POs someday. They may need to wait 30, 60, 90 days getting paid by a retailer, and then be able to pay for upfront expenses like product liability insurance, a 3PL or a warehouse to stock and fulfill their orders, and so forth. But the third thing, Mark, that we look at, and probably some of the Gadget Flow and other agencies that we work with, the third thing we look at, we kind of probably hold it a higher standard than how much money they have in their war chest or how cool the product is. We call the intangibles, or jokingly, the no nice guy effect. If they're not nice people like you, Mark, we don't work with them, right? Be honest, because, you know, there's a lot enough great products out there that we want to work with, right? We don't work with jerks, mean people. People don't follow through. I'm proud to say in the 14 years we've been in business, we've never been fired as a consultant. Why? A, because we don't take on every client that comes to our door. But B, if we don't think we can help that client out, we're not going to take their money. And that's what makes us different than other agencies out there in the marketplace.
So now you had mentioned that Retail Bound has been around for, what, about 14, 15 years?
About 14, yes.
What were the early days of Retail Bound like? Or like the first few months or even years?
Sure. So I would say when you first started the business, we were really truly a retail consulting or even a retail coaching agency. I mean, most of our clients back then were inventors, moonlighters, right? That were ready for retail, but they want some advice because, you know, a lot of startups, right? They want advice, right? They want help, but maybe they can't afford it, right? And they're out there on Google, right? They're at the library, and a lot of information may be good, but it's generic, right? It's not specific to their own need and want, right? So back in the early days, it was a lot of working with smaller guys and girls that, you know, were made a full-time job. But on the side, they had a hobby, right? They want to get their product into a retail, online or in-store, right? So a lot of coaching, we call one-on-one lessons, like taking a private lesson with a tennis pro or a golf pro. So it was great. I talked to a lot of young brands, did some coaching, right, one-on-one. And, you know, some of those young brands have done very well in the marketplace. In fact, one of those clients that started us back in their early days, they did a couple hours of coaching with us, got them along the way. And then a year or two later, they hired us to get them into retail. And in 2013 and 2014, Inc. magazine recognized them as one of the fastest 500 growing companies in the U.S. back in the day, right? So we feel pretty proud that our processes, our strategies, our tips can help brands scale, you know, A, if they actually do listen to us, you know, and B, follow through.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, any day, it's about having the right process, right? The right methodologies, right? I think, again, we're not some person just jumped off the boat teaching and educating people about retail, right? You know, I've been in the trenches for 30 years, as well as my teammates, both on them as a retailer, as well as a manufacturer. So again, when I was a manufacturer myself back in the early 90s, I made a lot of mistakes, more than I want to admit on this podcast, right? If I can help a young brand avoid the common pitfalls and save them time, effort, and money, it's worthwhile, right? That's why, you know, since 2008, we've worked with over 4,000 brands around the world, right? And educate them and avoid the mistakes I made when I was a manufacturer back in the early 90s.
Well, that's the thing, you know, you can't replace experience, so.
No, I think a lot of young startups, I think, you know, and I think for Gadgetflow, you know, it's very similar. I think startups want to do it themselves, right? They want to make those mistakes, right? And that's fine. No, but you gotta be wise of what you can and can't do, right? So I know, well, I may have the skill set to paint my house, right? You know, I don't have the mental fortitude, right? There are things I can do, there's things I can't do, right? I can't repair my car, right? Where that's why I hire a mechanic to do that for me, right? I can't paint my house, you know? I don't have the time. I'll rush through it. It'll be a very awful job. My wife won't be happy, right? I hire a professional, right? But there's things I can do. I can mow my lawn, right? Plan my neighbors, have a service do it for them, right? With startups, I think they want to do themselves, right? But, you know, for the ones that want to, you know, kind of hack the system, as the young kids say, or fast track the process, right? To hire persons like myself that can do the job in a much less time than they can and save that heartache down the road.
Well, with your experience, I'm sure it comes wisdom too. You know, it's like you're more in tune with the mistakes that you can afford to make and which you can't. So where some people do want to try and get their own experience, you know, when that's more appropriate and when it's not. so you can try and save them more of that time and money.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny when we talk to some of these young brands, like, they're like, I appreciate your stance, but no, we're gonna do it ourselves. Okay. And then finally, 6 months later, come back and say, I should listen to you. I spent all this time, effort, and money, burn a few bridges along the way, unfortunately, and I need your help. Right. So we've seen several leads, right? Or now I guess clients that say, no, I'm not ready now, or I can do it myself. Come back where it's 3 months from now or even a year from now and say, Johan, I need your help. On the flip side, the majority of our clients say it was between 18 to 24 months on average to ready to replace us with a full-time employee. That's the greatest accomplishment when you can say, Johan, as of December 1st, we need to take a break because that's a great job for hiring Susie here to do what you do. Awesome, right? Then the flip side, we've had clients, a couple, that say, now I know we have a 1 year contract. It's been 6 months. You've done a great job. We'll do it ourselves. And that's fine. In our retail bound, since we work with mostly startups, right? We don't tie them to a contract. If they want to cancel or terminate their contract prior to the 1 year engagement, that's fine. Not a big deal. We had a client back in 2018 in about 8 months. They were a Paris-based brand, nice company, done well in Europe. We got them in the U.S., got them on QVC, HSN on air, did great. Got them into CVS, but I got them in a 200-store test. 8 months of work, and wow, they're doing it. They told us, hey, we're going to do it ourselves. Okay, but we're going to do it remotely from Paris. Seriously? You're going to manage CVS? And HSN remotely, great. Okay, not a problem. We don't hold it. There's no animosities. 2 years to the date. There's no joke, Mark. They come to us. Say, Johan, need your help. What happened? The distributor they picked, not us. They picked, owes them a lot of money. Okay, and then CVS is charging the client, a six-figure amount for past due royalties and shelf plays and things that we would negotiated if we stayed on tack on the team. But since the client said, it's not us paying you X dollars per month, we can save that money by doing it ourselves. Well, guess what? Now they're in a hole because A, a distributor's not paying them money, and B, a large retailer is charging them a lot of money to be on their shelves. Things that we would help them avoid if they stayed on past that 8 month engagement. But these are things you have to learn. I guess with startups, I made not those dumb mistakes, but I made mistakes like that, I guess, back in the day. So I get it, right? That, hey, I'd rather save X grand by doing it myself. But if you don't have the infrastructure in place to do it, then it's better to keep it going with your consultant or contractor till you're ready to replace him or her down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like basically cutting your nose to spite your face. Analogy.
Yep, that makes sense. So what would you say is the most popular service that you guys offer right now?
Of the five services we offer today, we help clients expand both in North America. We have clients expand in Europe. We help clients expand on Amazon, which a lot of people do. We help people, clients do in-store audits, here, both in the U.S. and Canada. And finally, we have clients with their influencer marketing doing unboxing videos. I would say our most popular service is called Retail Launch. But basically, we can help clients get retail ready, right? And then get them placed in retail all across North America. That's our most popular service of the five services we offer today, Mark.
So I've got one more question for you that's just for fun.
Sure.
On your website, I saw that in 1982, you won the Hero of the Year award in your hometown.
There you go.
Fun story behind that.
Sure, I was a young lad. My first job was delivering papers. Back when bears were around, right? And as I was delivering papers to my customers, I found $500 cash on the street. I'm like, oh, not my money. Right. So I basically turned it in to the police. I mean, most most 12-year-olds will probably keep the money, maybe buy comic books or candy bars, I guess. I said, yo, it's not my money. It's someone's money. So I turned it into the local police department. No one claimed it. Some people said, well, that's remarkable that a young teenager turned the money into the police, you know, without keeping it. I got a Hero of the Year award. It was kind of weird because I was 12 years old, 13 years old, and here I am at a banquet with the real heroes, like policemen, firemen, right? And here I am, like some 12-year-old kid just bombed money on the street. But it was honest and ethical. And so I got a little award. And 6 months later, no one claimed the money. So the police say, it's your money, Johan. Really? So I got $500 and I actually bought my first Electronics. I didn't. It was a Sony 13-inch TV.
Wow.
That I bought. And that actually was funny that buying that Sony TV got me interested in consumer electronics. And for 30 years, by the way, Mark, I've been in the CE world. I've sold consumer electronics to retailers. And I've also been a very, very large consumer electronics retail buyer. I've dealt with Sony, Samsung, Microsoft, HP, and so forth. So, yeah, buying that Sony TV back in 1982 or 83 helped me understand. I really love consumer electronics. So I've been in electronics for 30 years, by the way.
That's crazy. So that one experience was the spark that kindled into this whole retail bound business.
Yeah, you never know where the door leads. I mean, if you told me back in the mid-2000s that I'd write a book that was very successful and I was going to quit my high-paying job, much to the dismay of my parents, right? And start a company from scratch and help a lot of young brands around the world be successful. I was like, Mark, you're smoking crap. There's no way. You're crazy, right? But hey, life is unusual, right? And I'm really happy, you know, that I've helped a lot of young brands and be successful and we'll continue to do that, you know, in years from now.
That's great. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Thanks for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it. It was really great hearing your stories.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. It was a pleasure talking to you this morning.
Absolutely. Look forward to talking to you again.
Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Gadget Flow podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate and review our show on iTunes. See you next time.